ready to get this ball rolling. Okay. I'd like to call the September 1st, 2022 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raised hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Beatty?
Here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Godsey?
Here.
TVWD, Commissioner Duggan?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. This concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using Microsoft Teams participant list.
Thank you, Annette.
Yep.
First up on our agenda this morning is General Manager's Report. And Mr. Kraska will now present the General Manager's Report.
Great. Thank you, Acting Chair Duggan and Commissioners. So let's get into the safety or the General Manager's Report. We always start off with a safety minute. And today, the safety minute is about providing first care, basically how to assist until help arrives if you come upon a situation that requires it. So first slide is that the importance of providing first care. So why are we worried about this? Well, life-threatening emergencies can happen fast, and emergency responders aren't always nearby. So those nearest are best positioned to provide what we call first care. And you may be able to save a life by taking these simple actions immediately. So the first is always to call 911. Don't assume that somebody else has already done so. 911 operators are highly trained to help you, and let them coach you through the emergency situation. Listen carefully and take their advice as they coach you. After doing that, then stay safe. Evaluate your surroundings, assess the situation, pause, and use all available senses. Just make sure you really worry what's going on around you. Decide whether to stay and help or grab the injured and get to safety or get yourself to safety. Use your best judgment in those cases. After doing so, stop the bleeding. If the person needing help is bleeding, apply steady, firm pressure on the source of the bleeding until the first responders arrive. If that doesn't work, then consider using a tourniquet. Next one is, in certain situations, it's helpful to position the injured. If there are no head or neck injuries and you're sure of that, lay the injured on their side with legs slightly bent and with the bottom hand reaching outward and the head resting on the near hand. Raise the chin forward and the mouth pointing downward to basically make the person comfortable until help can arrive. And I think the last one is to provide comfort. So basically, after doing all of that, share names and ask basic questions. Tell them what you know happened, but do not speculate. And if you can, keep them warm and offer a hand to hold, basically keeping them comfortable until help can arrive. So that concludes our safety moment. Now moving on with the rest of the General Manager's Report, starting off with our permitting communications updates. We'll have a water supply program. Permitting efforts remain very active still. Attached to this General Manager's Report is a tabulation of all the permits and approvals recently granted and the status of those currently in process. A couple of permitting highlights for you today. Our staff efforts were heavily focused this month on the Metzger Pipeline East project, securing permits for the pressure and flow control facility along MPE 1.2. It's our pipeline project in Shoalsbury Road, crossing 217, as well as right-of-way access permit for the Lancaster staging area and right-of-way utility permit amendment for Portland General Electric line installation along MPE 1.3. That's our pipeline project in Shoalsbury Road from around the 217 project all the way out to Roy Rogers Road. Permit modification to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of State Lands for the installation of the temporary major blow-off at the Tualatin River on the former Azalea Farms, now owned by the City of Tigard, that is planned as the city's future Lasage Lane Park. The major blow-off will be needed for pre-operational dewatering of the transmission pipeline as part of the start of the commissioning process. Staff consulted with the Army Corps, DSL, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Clean Water Services, Tualatin National Wildlife Refuge, and the City of Tigard to select a preferred location, basically getting everyone's input before doing so, for the blow-off that would be least potentially impactful to habitats and life stages of salmon and other listed sensitive species. We've got one word missed on that general manager's report. Now moving on to communications highlights. Communication staff coordinated several WWSS water treatment plant tours, site tours this month. On August 8th, staff provided a tour to State Representative Scouten and Campos and State Senator Lieber and Patrick Brennan of the Oregon Legislative Policy and Research Office. On August 11, staff provided a tour to State Representatives Neron and Graber and State Senator Salmon. Briefings and site visits with the legislators help position the WWSP for funding opportunities, highlight the importance of the seismically resilient regional water supply system, and build confidence for the WWSP's ability to complete the project on time by July 2026. Moving on to planned business agenda items, the approval and procurements forecast presents WWSP activities that have recently been approved or scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the WWSP director, general manager, WWS committees, or board. There are no planned business agenda items for the October WWSS Commission board meeting, as shown in the attached forecast. Our next anticipated business agenda item is in December and will be previewed at the October board meeting. Next up is an update on possible move to hybrid meetings. If you remember, recall at the May 2022 WWSS Commission board meeting, commissioners expressed support to switch to bi-monthly meetings beginning in October and to continue meeting remotely using Microsoft Teams with the possibility of meeting in person a few times a year once TBWD boardroom has been equipped to facilitate hybrid meetings. Due to delays in receiving the necessary equipment, the TBWD boardroom will not be equipped for hybrid meetings until late this year. I will provide another status update at the February 2023 WWSS Commission board meeting. Basically, I'd like TBWD to try everything out, get the bugs worked out before we consider hybrid meetings. And so I'm thinking a February meeting would be a good opportunity to provide you an update on how they're doing. Finally, moving on to construction status updates. Attached to this general management report is a tabulation of the status of all the active construction projects. To provide a more complete understanding of the work underway, we'll share a presentation of recent photos from these construction sites. A copy of this presentation is attached to the general management report. One particular point of note, though, is the for the commissioner's awareness relates to an incident that happened on July 29. Construction crews on the Highway 29 crossing, that's our PLM 4.1 project in Sherwood, it experienced unexpected soil movement. As the auger boring head pushed through the back of the receiving shaft, a portion of the shaft wall sloughed, and there were concerns that the soil movement had compromised a traffic lane on Highway 99. No one was hurt. Construction crews quickly closed the traffic lane and stopped construction work in the area. Working with our partner, Washington County, the road owner, Oregon Department of Transportation, the team evaluated the issue and developed a solution that allowed the traffic lane to be reopened by rush hour. Roadway was not damaged in the incident. Due to the potential for media attention from this particular incident, notification was shared with our management committee members, and some board members may have been subsequently informed. In the future, management committee members will coordinate sharing these types of notices with respective board members so that all commissioners are equally informed. So let's move on to the slides for our construction update. And we will have our listing of all of our construction projects. At this point now, we have a dozen. We have, at the time of preparing this presentation, we have 12 active construction projects shown here. As usual, I'll start to the south at our raw water facilities project. So down on the Willamette River, next slide, please. Here's all the work that was happening over the last month. We've completed our in-water pile driving, then the marine contractor has demobilized. It's like some of this work just happens without our even noticing. But this is quite an achievement in getting the piles driven in the Willamette River to protect our screens. And it was done without incident and completed on time and within our in-water work period and everything. Really a fairly risky, complicated effort that gets summed up by a single bullet on a slide here. So I just want to call attention to that. I don't want to undersell it, just what was achieved there. So anyways, that work is complete. We also completed our earthwork cuts to subgrade elevations at the upper site. We began our upper site utilities work, including 4-inch sanitary sewer, 2-inch potable water, 12-inch and 18-inch storm drains, and our raw water sample lines. We began work on our lower site stormwater improvements and preparing for our upcoming guaranteed maximum price number 2 package, which we're considering today as the business agenda item. Next slide, please. So this is a photo from the upper site where that excavation work was completed to get the site down to subgrade elevation. And this shows some of the buried utility construction for the 4-inch high-density polyethylene sanitary sewer and clean-out risers. Next slide. There is an aerial photo of that in-water work that I was mentioning. It shows a very large crane mounted on a barge in the Willamette River and all the activities and support facilities needed to get the pile driving work completed, as I mentioned, on time, on budget, and without incident. So again, a successful completion of a busy little challenging project. Next slide. And this is some of the lower site facilities work where we're doing some drainage improvements, installing new storm drain catch basins and connecting to the existing storm drain just south of the Clearwell. That will really be a significant improvement to storm drainage issues that they've been having in that site and just render the site a lot more usable, especially in wet weather. Next slide. So now that's it for the raw water facilities. That's the work that's going on right now. Moving on to PLM 1.3, it's our pipeline project through the center of Wilsonville there. Again, a lot of kind of pre-work on this project, potholing for utilities, crossings continuing, processing potential change orders, submittals and RFIs, reviewing our steel pipe drawings, and outside utility relocating a fiber optic line, which I think is the only photo that I have to show for you today, because again, we're just kind of doing preparation efforts here. So here, just basically utility relocating. So this is the equipment and construction workers relocating a fiber optic line along Beckman Road for our PLM 1.3 tunnel on shaft. So getting the utilities out of the way before we can begin the construction in the area. So that's really what's going on for PLM 1.3. Now we will move on to the water treatment plant project. A very large project, as you know, continuing our mass excavation, embankment filling, drilling and blasting, rock crushing, electrical service being installed, and a lot of submittal reviews, and continuing our baseline critical path method schedule that we're developing with the contractor, helping the contractor develop. Next slide. So as usual, we have aerial photos to show you of the site because the site is so massive. So this is the aerial photo over our Clearwell. So in the background there is Southwest 124th Avenue. So that's where our Clearwell is being installed, or the excavation is occurring for our Clearwell and finished water pump station. Next slide. This slide is looking essentially to the north generally. We're looking at the Trammell Crow development to our north. Up at the upper right corner is Southwest 124th, and you see our construction trailers and parking for the contractors right now. The location of our construction trailers and parking there is all temporary. Let's go to the next slide. So basically, if we take the camera, rotate it around, and look south now, looking over the rest of the site, in the foreground there is the rock crushing facilities, basically taking all the rocks that were blasted out of the holes in the ground, crushing them up into usable size for various parts of the project. A lot of the work that's been done is crushing them down to basically 3-inch sized rock that could be used for road embankment fill. And they believe now they're converting to 3/4 minus, which construction projects like this use lots and lots of. But you can see it's a pretty expansive site. On the very far distance background on this photo, if you squint really good past the PGE transmission lines, yep, right there, you can see a construction trailer located there. And that will be the quote-unquote permanent location of our construction trailers. And contractor parking and everything will be back in that area, basically in a safer, better place for all of that to be located. But again, very busy site. Next slide. Now our PLM 4.1 project is one I talked about a little earlier. It's our 12 and Sherwood Road project crossing Highway 99 that we're doing with Washington County. We completed that trenchless crossing. We're installing the 66-inch water line inside that casing underneath Highway 99. And Washington County is continuing widening both Roy Rogers and 12 and Sherwood Roads. So here we have a photo of the trenchless work, basically the auger boring coming into that receiving shaft. So that's the end of it. And this is where that sloughing occurred, is when this activity was happening. Some of the dirt sloughed into the excavation pit here, undermining what was feared to undermine some of the roadway, but it got handled and everything was patched up safely. Next slide. And so after the casing is installed under Highway 99, then the contractor installs it, basically pumps in grouting between the casing and the native soil, essentially, around the casing to make sure there's no voids and no settlement of Highway 99 now that we've got the casing installed there. Next slide. This picture shows our carrier pipe. So this is the actual pipe that will be carrying our water. Being installed in the casing that is now underneath Highway 99. Next slide is now we move on to PLM 4.4. So this one, Washington County is doing their work in terms of preparing the road and widening the road, and we are doing paperwork. So we're processing submittals and RFIs, and we held a pre-construction meeting. And I think the single photo that I have for you here is just shows that portion of Roy Rogers Road, the kind of coming into the northernmost portion of Sherwood. Kind of hard to detect really what's going on here. You see a lot of orange barrels there for traffic control. But if you're very familiar with this area, what you'll see that's missing or has been deleted from this is the planted median. So this was a very nice little entrance to Sherwood, but it's going to be expanded to two lanes in both directions and a center turn lane. And so the planted median in the center of that needed to be demolished, and so all of that's gone in preparation for moving the traffic around for our work and expanding the roadway. Next slide. Moving on to PLM 4.3, Roy Rogers project to the north of Sherwood. On that one, we're working on access and haul roads, the Secan pile shaft on the north side of the Tualatin River, groundwater observation wells, clearing and grubbing, and critical submittals. I got a couple photos for you on this one. This is an aerial photo showing the beginnings of the receiving shaft on the north side of the Tualatin River. So this is basically just, you see that ring kind of in the center top of the photo there. So that's just basically the beginnings of building that that shaft. And this is a very, very deep shaft when it'll be completed. It'll be about 100 feet deep. So this one goes way down there, and again, it's all related to seismic resiliency and getting our pipeline in a safe location so that when the big earthquake comes, it'll still be there and operational. But this is quite an operation that's going on out there right now. And I think the next slide here just shows kind of a close-up of that kind of preliminary work, kind of giving you an idea of the scale of the guide wall that was built there. And currently now, if you drive by there, a lot of activity there actually constructing the shaft itself. I don't believe they're excavating it out yet, but they will be soon. Next slide. And this is on the other side of the Tualatin River, the southern side of the Tualatin River, where they're focusing on constructing the access and haul road, construction for the water line alignment. I think that might be the last of my 4.3 slides. Yes, it is. So now we're moving up north to our reservoir PLM 5.3 project, very active site. Continuing our 66-inch waterline installation, about 1,800 feet installed to date. We have two crews now installing waterlines in two different locations, so they're moving very quickly. We're also doing ground improvements in the Farmington Gardens area. A lot of rock excavation still at the reservoir site, rock crushing on the other site, and continuing our construction and soil nail rock bolt retaining wall at the reservoir site that I got a photo to show you here. Next slide. There it is. This is the reservoir site. Basically, a lot of heavy yellow metal equipment rolling around, plucking rocks out of the ground, getting the site down to grade elevation. And I was out there on Monday, and I'm happy to say they are down now at the grade elevation. So they are down at the bottom of the site and getting it prepared to enable future construction of the reservoir that's to come. Next slide. And I think this is probably my favorite photo of all the slides, all the pictures that I have to show you today. because it shows some really interesting work. If you're an engineer like me, it's a pretty interesting study in physics going on here with the contractor here in the foreground doing the shotcreting construction of the wall. And so he's holding a hose that's blowing concrete essentially into the wall there to create the retaining wall for that goes behind our reservoir. And you can see him leaning into that, basically working against the forces of the concrete flying out of that hose. And it also makes me think, why didn't they use one of the heavier guys for this particular operation? Because it looks like this guy is on the lighter side. But, you know, he's making it work. And it's really impressive work out there. Going out there to see these guys doing their work, it's really phenomenal, the level of dedication and quality of work that's happening on our project there, and very proud of it. So it's going well. Next slide. And so this shows some of the pipeline work. Again, very impressive work that's going on out there. This is our contractor Fowler that's working on the pipeline installation. This is one of the efforts for PLM 5.3. And I've got one more slide here to show you. So this is one of the headings. Then the next slide here is the other heading. So we have two pipeline crews out there installing our pipeline for PLM 5.3. So they're making very good progress on this. It's going very well so far. Next slide. Moving up to PLW 1.3, just to the north of this project. And this project's just about done. So we've completed all of the testing and disinfection of this pipeline. We've completed our tie-in to the pipeline to the north, PLW 1.1 in Corn Pass Road. We're completing our Farmington turnout vault pipe and electrical work and marker posts and miscellaneous appurtenances, basically the button-up kind of activities left. Next slide. So along with that, you know, this shows our tie-in to PLW 1.1. It shows the harness coupling, and buried under a lot of wax tape there is the butterfly valve that separates these two pipeline segments. So basically tying the pipelines together and moving things along very well. Next slide. And this just shows kind of the completion of the combination air relief valve vault at Butternut Creek. Next slide. So now moving up from there to PLW 1.2, partnership project with Washington County and Corn Pass Road, just north of TV Highway. This one is primarily Washington County activities. They'll be installing our pipeline in the coming months, but it's mostly Washington County activities so far. Sidewalks and driveways, traffic and shift for stage two and utility relocations. So I think the photos here that I have to show you are largely just of the road work. So this shows it's, you know, kind of the nicely completed work that some of Washington County's work. New sidewalk and widened road near Ladd Acre School. Next slide shows kind of similar activities. This is for our 48-inch water line, the road widening that needs to occur first on the east side of Cornelius Pass. And this photo is looking to the north. Next slide. Now we're looping around clockwise over to MPE 1.1, our pipeline project, the City of Beaverton and Western Boulevard. Continuing installation of the 48-inch pipeline. And last time I drove by there, they are right up against Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. So they're making great progress on this. Continue work on the test stations, blow-offs, continued our flow meter vault construction, and city road construction between Allen Arctic is also taking place. Next slide. And this is the 48-inch waterline installation. So this is basically standing on Western near 5th Avenue, looking to the north, looking towards Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, towards that Kaiser facility there, installation of the 48-inch pipeline. And like I said, when I drove by there earlier this week, they were pretty much right up against Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. So they're making great progress. Next slide. So now that's it for that project. Now, the last one to talk about today is MPE 1.2. So this one, they've completed the shaft and beginning the work at Lower Fano Creek. So that's on the west side of Highway 217. Continuing work on installing the 16-inch Beaverton pipeline in Shoals Ferry Road, 48-inch open cut water line in Shoals Ferry Road north of Hall Boulevard, and installing the 48-inch water line in Shoals Ferry Road west of Highway 217. So a lot of activity on this project as well. Next slide. And so this just shows some of our tunnel construction for crossing Fano Creek. So they've got that tunnel, the shaft basically completed. They're going to start working on the trenchless crossing of Fano Creek very soon. Next slide. And this shows some of that open cut installation of our 48-inch water line north in Shoalsbury Road, north of Hall Boulevard. So again, very busy area with work finally occurring in the daytime. These poor contractors, this particular crew has been working a lot in the nighttime. So this, they're able to actually get some work done during the daytime. But it's a very busy area. Next slide. And so then this is just our contractor testing the coating on the pipeline, basically what they call a holiday test. They're looking for discontinuities or imperfections essentially in the coating on the 48-inch water line before the pipeline gets installed. Next slide. I think this might be the last one. This clearing and grubbing for the pressure and flow control facility. This is near the intersection of Hall and Oleson. So this will be a new facility that will be constructed for tying all of that pipeline work into the TBWD system in that area. And that might be the last photo that I have to share with you today. Yes, last photo is, last slide is questions. Be glad to take any questions if there are any.
I have none, commissioners. John, do you have a question?
I need to unmute myself before I start talking. Hello. That Fan Oak Creek crossing, does that have to be another deep one?
That one is nowhere near as deep as where we're at with the Tualatin River crossing. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but maybe Mike Bridge, do you know off the top of your head how deep we're going below Fan Oak Creek in that area?
As you said, it's not as deep. I'm guessing that's probably a, you know, 30 to 40 foot deep shaft, and so there's minimum clearances of the casing, you know, beneath the bottom of the creek, and obviously the shafts on both sides of the bank are much higher, so it's, I guess, in the 30 to 50 foot depth range.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. I love those construction photos, especially of the guy with the shot creek hose. That was pretty entertaining to see that and imagine how that all played out. Next on our agenda is public comment. Public comment is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have anyone who would like to comment today?
No requests today.
Thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests should someone decide to log into our meeting. Next up is the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member requests that an item be removed for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the board agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items, which did not require discussion, which I don't believe we'll have any problems with that today, considering we only have one item on our consent agenda, which is approving the August 4th, 2022 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? And please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for the action item.
Mayor Beatty, so moved.
Commissioner Godsey, a second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion passes. Next up is our business agenda and considers of one item, which is considering approving a change order in the amount of $61,960,234 to Kiewit Infrastructure West Company for a guaranteed maximum price of phase two of the Raw Water Facilities RFW 1.0 project and drawing $14,537,706 from management reserve to fund the amount above the current baseline budget. Mr. Bridge will now present the staff report.
Okay, good afternoon, commissioners. So before I start, though, I don't know how other people are experiencing the slides come in, but I was seeing a lag, at least on my connection here. Dave would start saying, and this is, and I wouldn't see the picture for about 10 or 15 seconds. So hopefully it was fine for this part of it. So next slide. So the outline for the presentation, I don't know if it's up. Can you guys see it? I haven't yet, but okay. I have my other slides here. I can work with as well. So give you a project background, talk about the bid process, the review that we did for the guaranteed maximum price, and then comparing the GMP price to the baseline, and then ending with the board action. So go ahead, next slide, Joelle. So this should be the proposed GMP number two. So as Commissioner Duggan mentioned, the amount is $61.9 million, requiring a draw on management reserve of over $14.5 million. So that reduces the management reserve from initially $77.1 million down to $62.5 million. But that still places us above where our risk analysis said. So back in November, when the baseline was established, we identified a risk-based amount around $55 million. And because we had some favorable bids, as well as getting some money back, because we had some really good escalation clauses and steel prices went down, we were able to fund, add that to the management reserve, which drove it up to that $77 million, and then even after this reduction, it still leaves us above our risk-based amount we established last November. Next slide. So on this one, I guess, Joelle, there's a whole bunch of clicks here. I'm not seeing it, but I can look on my screen here. So this should be the raw water kind of project map here, and identifies the different improvements that we did. So to the right should be the new fish screens, and so those are obviously located in the Willamette River. To the left of that are the seismic improvements we did. So along the top of the bank, we did deep soil mixing and angled jet grouting to improve that and basically prevent the bank from moving towards the river in a seismic event. We installed an air burst system, so when you have these larger screens that require more air, compressed air capacity to blow them out and keep them clean. All of that work was done as part of GMP1. The next part there was a mechanical pump station upgrades, and so that's part of the GMP2 work, where we're installing pumps up to 1,500 horsepower with vertical turbine pumps approaching 80 feet long. Through the park there, in GMP1, we installed our water line, so a 66-inch water line and the electrical duct bank that allows us to power from the upper site down to the pumps. To the left is the upper site facility, so it includes things like our standby power, surge control, the upper site electrical building. All of these are part of this GMP2. And then the last click there should be an arrow pointing to Arrowhead Creek, and we completed a trenchless crossing underneath the creek there as part of GMP1. Next slide. So to give you a little bit of background on the different phases and elements with our contractor. So a little over 2 years ago, in June of 2018, we entered into a contract with Kiewit for the CMGC services. So that included some support during design, where they helped us optimize the design and address improved constructability things with our design. It was always planned that we would amend that contract when the GMPs were ready to execute the work. Initially, when we first started the project, We thought there would just be two phases of the work, a phase one for all the heavy civil and then the phase two for the electrical. We've since added an intermediate one that's in construction, really to take a good take advantage of the good summer weather to do some of the shallow utility stuff, as well as helps with schedule, just getting some of that out of the way so that GMP, the phase 1.5, is in construction. And then the phase two, we're hoping to issue notice to proceed this month if the board approves this. Next slide. So you should be looking at, a couple photos of the project site. So the one on the left is the lower site. So you're looking south over the existing water treatment plant in Wilsonville. At the very kind of top of the picture, the bank of trees, that's the top of the bank. And right below it is the Willamette River, and the pump station is right at the edge of that. You can't tell it from this picture, but we installed our pipeline through the park. It looked completely different during construction, and put a new pathway back that's actually a little bit wider, and it's designed for truck traffic, so it provides an emergency access down to our pumps in the pump station. The picture to the right is the upper site, and so you're looking to the east. You can see Mount Hood in the far distance there, and this is where we'll have our building, electrical facilities, surge tanks, and so on. Next slide. So GMP scope items includes the pumps that are required to get us to that initial 60 million gallon per day capacity. So again, large vertical turbine pumps. With those larger motors in the building, it creates additional heat, and so there's additional ventilation requirements, HVAC improvements that take place on the building, and you should be able to see that square kind of structure at the base of the picture. That's the actual pump station building. With our raw water pipe system and the new pumping, we need to address hydraulic transients, and so there's surge tanks that will be installed at the upper site to address any hydraulic transients for water flowing through the 7 miles of pipeline between this site and the treatment plant if there's a power outage and the pumps drop off. Also includes our electrical facilities, instrumentation and controls. We have a large standby generator and fuel tank at the upper site. And then the new building and all the improvements that go with that at the upper site. Next slide. There's only one click. So we've tried to do a good job managing costs through the means that we had available all the way through the GMP process. Started with our procurement of our CMGC contractor, and just to remind the commissioners that they were selected through a competitive process that included cost and non-cost factors and all the pricing and markups and fees. That was again done through a competitive process, and which was part of the selection process. During the design phase, I think the team really benefited from different types of value engineering ideas, as well as constructability input. We actually installed a groundwater well next to Arrowhead Creek, because there was some concern about what was known or not known about the groundwater conditions, and actually it was able to be used in construction. But we were able to do a pump test during design, which allowed us to really dial in the requirements and help reduce any additional risks that needed to get priced in. Our contractor was responsible providing cost estimates at the 70% and 90% stage of work, and informed by budgetary quotes on different pieces of equipment, confirmed kind of the scope of the work and schedule moving forward, and identified where possible, where could we have bid alternatives. And then finally, in the development of the different GMPs, we looked at what was the staffing that the contractor really needed, taking a hard look to make sure we're not overdoing it on the staffing. We did a lot of early bidder outreach. I'll talk more about the outreach process in a minute here. Open books to kind of review numbers, sealed bids for some of the self-perform work. And, with our team, really doing a comprehensive review and of the documents and continuing to optimize as we move forward. Next slide, please. So this should be talking about the bidding process. And so as I mentioned, did an extensive outreach. So there's a lot of communications directly from Kiewit, our contractor, to the bidding community, you know, making sure that people knew things were coming up and trying to drum up interest in the packages, you know, especially for the larger packages, trying to really make sure we're spreading the word and getting good interest. In support of, you know, communicating to the contracting community, we held a couple workshops, pre-bid workshops, as well as offered a site tour to really kind of, you know, inform them of the work and answer any questions during the bidding process, certainly answering bidder questions. We utilized the best value process on a number of these packages. I'll talk about more about that in a few slides. And then for, you know, projects that the contractor is going to go after and submit a bid, the program administered that procurement to make sure it's a level playing field. You know, and happy to report there was no bid protests, and again, utilize an open book approach in reviewing the information. Next slide. So this slide should be talking about our overall procurement outreach and the number of contractors that were communicated. So in total, 728 companies were contacted about this upcoming work. 42% of those, or 307, actually logged on and looked at the documents. Out of those, 34%, or around 104, indicated they intended to bid. And from that, 63% of that number, or 65 different contractors, actually provided a bid related to this project. So again, really trying to do a good outreach to the community. And this is kind of similar to probably what we saw in the water treatment plant, that for a variety of reasons, you know, people, different contractors self-select whether this is the right opportunity for them or not. Next slide. So this talks about just kind of a breakdown of the amounts and solicitations by award. So the three best value projects, I'll explain more coming up, they represent about 62% of the overall cost. So the building itself on the upper side, all the electrical work that goes into it, and then the mechanical. In total, there were 38 low bids from qualified contractors, making up about 13% of the overall price, and then the balance, 25%, were our Kiewit's work and negotiated items. Some of them were pre-established, like the fees and markups and so forth. As the CMGC contractor, they're responsible for managing all the on-site general conditions and providing small tools, bonds, support services. For example, they're going to provide a crane that will provide all the lifting that's needed for all the different packages. And so that's kind of what goes into that number. Next slide. So going through the three different best value packages. So first one here is electrical and instrumentation. You can see that we received three proposals, you know, pretty tightly grouped, but you'll see that Christensen Electric was selected. And if you remember, in the best value process, it's a combination of price, which represents 70% of the scoring, and then qualifications and understanding and approach, and that make up 30%. And our team, in review of the non-cost parts, really had maybe concerns or for the other two that were not selected, related to either their experience, their ability to staff the project, and certainly they really didn't demonstrate a really good understanding of what the project was about. Whereas Christensen has been doing work for Wilsonville on that site, you know, for previously. They also had some work on our phase one, and they were really tracking the project and understanding what was involved. And so our team really all felt that Christensen by far understood and what it takes to do this project well. And so they were selected based on the scoring approach. Next slide. So this one talks about the mechanical. So we only received one proposal from Kiewit, just over $14 million. We thought we were gonna get another bid from JF Bauer. But again, based on how they were like winning work and you know, performing other projects, they didn't think they had the capacity to do this at the time of a bid, and so they elected not to provide a bid. But our team still reviewed the proposal, was deemed complete and responsive according to the requirements RFP, and Kiewit was selected for award based on the best value criteria. Next slide. So this slide just talks about kind of a breakdown of kind of what went into their price. And out of that $14 million, even though we received only one bid, 88% of that value is attributed to low bids provided by the pump manufacturer and other parts that go into the overall cost. And so it was still, the bulk of this was still a competitive, you know, bidding process where, again, 88% is made up of values derived from that. The remaining 12% is work that Kiewit would do related to providing labor, equipment, you know, supervision, installing the pumps and related equipment. This is, the work is in line with our expectations, and so we feel it is a, you know, an appropriate, reasonable cost for doing this work. Next slide. Okay, and this is the last of the three best value bid packages that we had. So it's the actual building for the electrical equipment on the upper site. In this case, we only received two bids, and in this case, based on the scoring, both on price and by the non-cost factors, our team felt that PNC Construction was the better contractor and received the higher score, and hence recommended for moving forward with them. Next slide. This slide talks about the GMP 2 negotiation and validation process. And so we received the draft GMP from Kiewit on June 1st. We assembled our team of WSP and subject matter expert reviewers to conduct that. Went through, you know, all the different parts and pieces, but in particular the number of kind of key discussion items we went through with Kiewit, again making sure that their staffing was appropriate for the project. And so we went kind of back and forth quite a bit on that. Certainly a lot less staff than the phase one project, but you know, still a reasonable amount of staff. We talked through the approach to escalation and risk management. Originally they had like all their escalation pricing identified with the contingency. We wanted to break that apart to have a little bit better transparency and manage that as well. Really an in-depth analysis of all the sub and material pricing, talk through all the different contingencies, both for the contractor and the owner, and just confirm that the markups were, you know, appropriate and consistent with previous contracts with Kiewit. Next slide. So this slide just kind of shows all the numbers together that make up the total project amount. So there's the cost of the work, there's the pre-negotiated fee percentage within the contractor, there's a contractor CMGC contingency as well as a owner contingency. You see the $763,000 was the amount that we broke out to deal with escalation if needed, and if not, it gets returned to the project. And then outside the contract value, there's an additional just over $1 million. And if you add up all the contingencies inside and outside the contract, that gets you to 10%, which is where we generally consistently carried a contingency as we start the construction of a given project. And so if you add all that up, the project cost with contingency is just over $63 million. As it's been mentioned before, in baseline 7, the phase 2 amount was just over $48 million, and so that requires a budget adjustment and a transfer from management reserve just over 14.5 million. Next slide, please. Typical slide you've seen as we present on these, just kind of a breakdown of share by partner based on the percentages identified in baseline seven. You'll notice that for this facility, again, this is also involves the WIF, and so there's a small percentage, a small amount that's identified for WIF, just over $10,000, and I think it's a valve that's leaking on the air system that has to be replaced. Next slide. So I think there's a bunch of clicks here, Joelle. It's not coming up, but go ahead and do them all. So I guess we wanted to talk through the primary drivers for why we think the GMP is above the baseline. So three categories, project-specific market conditions, just generally the next category, what's going on in the market, and then unique scope items. And in this case, actually, there were no unique scope items that got added. In the case of the water treatment plant, there were a few things that went in at the very end. But back to the project-specific things, again, we're, as you're probably aware, we're just continuing to experience extreme market escalation and volatility. There was a limited number of bidders, despite the, you know, really extensive process that we tried to do for outreach and generate interest and awareness of this project. And for all projects, there continues to be different types of supply chain risks on critical components. For the market in general, there's a labor shortage. I mean, there contractors are having a hard time getting all the workers they need and qualified workers. There's some challenges around transportation. I heard from the contractor, Kiewit, they said that while there's plenty of trucks available, they don't have enough drivers. And so that generates kind of a bottleneck and increased transportation costs for everybody. Supply chain stuff, again, you have products that go through different vendors before they reach us. And so there's kind of compounding escalation and risk being priced in, as well as everybody's just generally busy right now. Next slide. So this is a slide that our internal cost estimating subject matter expert pulled together, and it's to illustrate the comparison in where we were at from our GMP price in last November, when baseline seven was generated, to the price that reflects starting work this month. And so we saw a 25% increase from that. And what they did was they took the number of kind of related elements from the producer price index for that same escalation period. And so here you can see, you know, just by comparison, you know, different forms of trucking are up about the same. There's different electrical components and electrical gear that's, you know, again, it all hovering, you know, around the same increase. As well as different types of manufacturing and distribution. And so, you know, generally, we think the cost that from last November, the cost increase to a project that starts work this month is generally in line with what's going on with the market. And this is intended to give you a sense of what some of the smaller components are seeing. Next slide. This should be about schedule. And so, so far we're on track. Our contractor has expressed concern about just really wanting to get going. They're concerned. They don't have contracts with their subcontractors yet until they get approved to do this work. And they're a little nervous about their subcontractors holding their price. And so, you know, everything that we can do to help them, you know, get going and stay on track schedule is really valuable. And next slide, so there should be the requested board action. And so we're asking the board to consider approving a change order in the amount of $61,960,234 to Kiewit for phase two of the raw water facilities project, and also authorizing a draw for management reserve in the amount of $14,537,706 to help make up the difference between the baseline 7 and the current GMP number. And again, as I mentioned before, even with this draw on management reserve, it still leaves us in a better place than where we started when we first put the baseline back together in November. So I think that's my last slide, and I think it should be a question slide that pops up here, and happy to answer or address any questions or comments that you might have.
Thank you, Mike. Are there questions from the commissioners regarding the presentation? Go ahead, John.
Just a comment and a question, I guess. Given what's happening in the market, I'm glad we are where we are in our construction and bidding schedules with this whole project. And as I understand, we are at the end for all major pieces. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is the last major bidding contract to lock down. There will be a GMP number 2 that will be coming for the water treatment plant. That's been anticipated, but that's to address landscaping and some other kind of, you know, work that would happen at the very end of that construction project. But this is, Jeremy, I don't know if you remember offhand what the value is, but this is the last major project to be bid. And I totally agree with your statement that I'm so glad that we got all our prices locked down, because I wouldn't want to be starting the procurement process like others in the region are right now. So.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I support this request.
Not seeing any further questions. I just wanted to say that I am really impressed with the amount of staff analysis that went into this presentation, but also what was provided to us in the packet. And while I don't like the numbers, could have been a lot worse, and like we just said, I'm glad we're at this place rather than starting out on a major venture at this time. So there being no further questions, I'll request that do I have a motion and a second to approve a change order in the amount of $61,960,234 to Kiewit for GMP Phase 2 of the Raw Water Facilities project, and drawing $14,537,706 from the management reserve to fund the amount above the current baseline budget.
This is Mayor Beatty, so moved.
Commissioner Godsey, second.
It's been moved and seconded. The board reporter will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
The motion passes. Next on the agenda is just an announcement that there are no communication or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. And the next board meeting is set for October 6, 2022 via Microsoft Teams. Any other business before the board before I call adjournment? Not hearing any. And there being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.